this gathering, right? We live such scattered lives. There's so many forces that pull our time, our attention, our energy, and they all seem to sort of pull us out. And then this is this opportunity to gather and to ground into this moment. And I thought we could practice with that ever in some ways familiar and simultaneously foreign experience of grounding. You know, it's like we have to relearn it. And when I listened to everything that you shared last week, you know, so much of what you were naming are those experiences where it's challenging to ground, you know, through the difficulties of facing our vulnerability in aging or in illness or in the inevitable anticipated dying, or those challenging edges of meeting the difficult beings in the world, or offering forgiveness, or meeting those tender emotions like grief with some measure of equanimity and self-kindness. So I thought that our practice today at the beginning of a new series might just be on this theme of grounding for whatever comes and wherever we go. So in that spirit, I invite you to arrange your body in a way that offers a sense of foundation. Your body may already be positioned in a way that's supportive of that, or maybe some adjustments, you know, placing of the arms or a settling into your seat or your feet. Sometimes we feel our foundation more strongly with the eyes open and softly gazing downward, so there's a steadiness to the gaze, a stabilizing quality in the simplicity of looking down. And sometimes there's a greater sense of groundedness with the eyes closed. There's a deeper connection to the body and the points of contact, the substance of the body that helps us root into the earth, into this moment. So feeling into the body position, the orientation of the eyes, and then allowing a settling. A settling, and often what's settling is our awareness. It's like the body stops moving in any obvious, intentional way. and the awareness has some place to land. And so you might see where the awareness is called to land. Maybe it's in the soles of the feet or in the touch point of the hands. Or in the seat, upon the cushion or the chair. Maybe the awareness wants to rest into the waves of the breath. The opening of our practice is often a finding of a home. One of the words for home is abode. We're looking for that shelter within the flurry of activity, externally and internally. That shelter in the storms of life, when the mind storms, a place where we can abide. Where we can rest. Where we can replenish. So finding your home, your abode for this practice. Breath or body that offers some shelter, some stability. And when you find that the awareness is scattered again, pulled away from this abode, this home, it's not a problem. Our awareness leaves home just like our body leaves our house. And then you can simply return. Return to place where you live, this moment, you can let your anchor point, breath, or body be the doorway back to the place where you abide, where you live. We live in presence. Home is always waiting for us. It's as close as the doorway of the next breath, the next sensation in the body. So each time you wander, simply letting yourself come home, without judgment. As we come to the final minutes of our practice together today, you might consider how this experience of gathering and grounding finding your home in this moment, might allow you to support others in finding a sense of home. How this might support a collective quality of abiding, of really living. In harmony with the rhythms of this life. How having a place to rest might support the greater good, a world in which all beings know a measure of safety, stability, ease, and well-being. May all beings know a sense of home. May it be so. So there was quite a lot in what you brought forward last week as possible directions for deepening, and I think there's more than one series in what you shared. So I'm not gonna try to braid it all together in one like overstuffed burrito of like Dharma teachings, you know. But I thought that as a bridge from where we were with the three characteristics to a first round of deepening into some of what you shared, that it might be rich to revisit from a different angle some of the teachings of the territory of the heavenly messengers of aging, illness, and dying, and to add in a quality of exploring these with that teaching around no self as one of the lenses we look at this with. Because often the suffering, part of the suffering with aging, illness, and dying is it's an affront to our sense of self. We watch our sense of self dissolve as the body does, right? And one way of considering this is, you know, like, where is home? Right? Where is home? This invitation in our practice to, you know, find that abode where we can abide in the moment, you know, maybe a felt sense of the body, maybe the breath. And sometimes what we end up taking that to mean is that we live in the body, that we are the body. You know, home is the body. That's one of the expressions of self that can arise. And actually, where we live is in presence. We live in the present moment, but it's not actually that we're living like here in this fixed little, you know, sack of muscle and bone and, you know, tissue. It's like that's, you know, and as you pointed to, David, you know, sometimes we get very tangled up in this teaching of no self. It can get very heady because we try to figure out, well, if I'm not this, what am I? Or if it's not me that's walking up the stairs or thinking this thought. And I don't want to get us tangled into those, you know, weeds too much, but just to bring into awareness, you know, that self is often part of this quality of selfing, of identity, of identities or identifying, is often part of our relationship with the messengers. And one of the practices that I know we've talked about at different times in the last couple of years that I thought I'd bring in on the front end of this series, however it ends up unfolding, is the practice of the five remembrances, because this is a practice that, if it's of interest to you, you might choose to play with for the whole series. Like, you might hold it. And so I'm going to offer it here, and I'll deepen into it as we go through the series. And I love this practice in part because I have found that it has, what's the right word? It's eroded or faded the sense of self that I feel over the years as I've practiced with this. It's a little bit like denim. You know how, like, you get a new pair of blue jeans and they can sometimes be really dark blue, and you wash them and you wash them, and then they get, like, softer, and the dye sort of fades out, and you start to get these little, you know, kind of lighter patches of blue, and you know what an old pair of jeans looks like, right? And I have found that there's something in my experience, about this particular practice that has that similar effect on the sense of self. It's a little bit like every time I practice with this, it's like putting the sense of self through the wash. And when it comes out, it's just a little bit like less intensely colored, intensely believable. It's a slow fade, and it takes a lot of repetitions. So I'll offer it to you today, and we'll play with it over time, and you'll get to see if it has that impact on you at all. But these five remembrances are five phrases or repetitions of a teaching, and I'll just name the phrases and And then I'll say a little bit about how you could consider practicing with them, and then we'll build on this. And there's many different phrasings. This is the phrasing I think I've shared before, and you may find a version of this that you like better. You know, there's many of them out there on the net. I can send this one out, you know, to you. It's from the Metta Institute, and you might come up with your own language, your own phrases. You know, and I find that, as with any practice, it's like the best way to practice is the way that has meaning for you. So for me, this language has resonated, and there's five phrases, and they go like this. This body is of the nature to age. There's no way to escape aging. This body is of the nature to have ill health. There's no way to escape ill health. This body is of the nature to die. There's no way to escape death. Everything and everyone I love is of the nature to change. There's no way to escape being separated from them. My actions are my only true belongings. There's no way to escape the consequences of my actions. They are the ground upon which I stand. And I'll just briefly share a few things I love about this particular phrasing. One, sometimes you'll see the phrasing as, I am of the nature to age. There's no way to escape aging. I love that for me, it's powerful to actually say this body. It's already taking I out of the picture. This body's not so personal. This body is a manifestation of, you know, the larger body of life. It's just like this body. I'm not saying me. I'm saying this body is of the nature. So that repetition is part of the washing machine for me that fades the sense of self. And there's something about this practice that you know, the repetition from different angles of the experience that a body can have, you know, aging, illness, dying, and loss, you know, loss, the loss of change and impermanence. And I know, Ellen, you brought in impermanence last time, and then it points us to, like, where is our ground? Our ground is, you know, our actions. Our ground is how we live in this world. It's not where we get to. It's not. So there's a lot packed into this teaching. And one of the ways I've practiced with it in different ways over many years, and it fades in and out of my active practice. But I often will just repeat the phrases at the beginning or the end of a sit. You know, they're not necessarily the focus of the sit, but it's just like, you know, taking a minute or two to repeat the phrases. And you might hold it like that, just as one element of your regular practice. Sometimes, you know, I'll hold one of the phrases is really meaningful based on what's going on in life. You know, it could be the illness and the simplicity of I have a cold and I'm really aware of discomfort in the body. And so if something is accessible or alive, or, you know, or there's some injury, present injury, it could be big or small, you know, I stubbed my toe, and so for a few days, like, it really hurts, or, you know, this weekend I was stung by a bee and I've had this welt on my arm that like shrinks and grows depending. And, you know, so if there's something alive in the body, I might take the relevant phrase and deepen into it or think, reflect on it. You know, what's expressing in the body that right now tells me, oh, it's unavoidable. You know, I slept funny and I have a crick in my neck. It's unavoidable that there's discomfort. Or I looked in the mirror this morning and I was like, wow, was that strand of, you know, that swatch of gray hair there like last week? I don't remember that one, or whatever it might be. Or, you know, sometimes, I was on a road trip and saw a dead deer by the side of the road. And it's like, oh, you know, death. So something might enliven one of those phrases and I deepen into it. So you might just this week, the invitation will be, you know, to just play with, is there some way you might be interested in working with these, five remembrances in the background of this series, however many weeks we end up exploring these topics. And if it speaks to you, you might even do a little reflection on the front end of like, what's my sense of self? How solid is it? How deeply indigo is that sense of self right now? And then as you work with this over time, you might periodically check in, like, is anything fading? Is anything, you know, fraying in this sense of self, like it's not quite so tightly woven or so deeply dyed into my being. So I think I'll pause there. This is kind of an introduction, and I'll gift you just a little time in breakout rooms and I'll see what you have to say to each other, and you can enjoy each other's company, and then we'll just come back and have a brief closing. Welcome back, friends. We'll see if there's anything that wants to be briefly shared that you discovered in your small groups. Or anything about the topic that you want to chime in on or let inform where we go with it. Yeah, I love that. And can I take that in and let that feed where we go next time? Yeah. You know, but what I will say in brief, in response to what you're saying, is I know for me, part of what is allowing a wider circle of opening to these teachings that we could sit with on a massive scale, like all the way out to the death of the whole planet or the whole species, or is to start small. So I have, over the years, really sought out, like, one of my death meditations is actually, I'm on the compost crew where I live, and like compost is a kind of death and a regeneration, you know? And it's like, so I look for places where, you know, there's less fear and more space for curiosity, because what I find with the messengers is there can be a lot of fear in the uncertainty or in the vulnerability of them. So, and fear shuts us down, you know, it doesn't open us, and we can't pull ourselves open to these teachings. You know, we can only invite. And life will pull us open because there's sudden losses or a diagnosis you weren't expecting. But the more you can practice with, yeah, the mosquito bite or the you know, the common cold, the hangnail, you know, the worm that drowned in the puddle, you know, death, you know, those things I find have really supported me in recognizing that we don't live with aging, illness, and death like out there in the distance. You know, it's one of these great delusions that we all somehow, even when we come into relationship with death, there's still some belief that like I'm exempt. I came into this world with my get out of jail free card, and we're not, right? So I'll take that to heart and see if I can weave in the deepening in the coming weeks. But that would be my short response. Yeah. So explore, and I'll... I can send a little handout with to those of you who are here. I may get it up on my website, but it's a busy week, so I'm just writing down who's here because I probably will remember, but I may not by the end of today or tomorrow. So I'll send the five remembrances, if that language appeals to you. And I'll see you next week. All right, take good care.